Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, thank you for this all last week and all this week in teaching us and training us how to receive from the blood covenants that are in this book. And we praise you from Genesis chapter 1, where an animal was killed and shed blood to clothe the first man and his wife. Glory to God. Then in the 15th chapter of Genesis, the blood of animals. Then in the 17th chapter of Genesis, the blood of a man through circumcision. All of that pointing to you, Jesus, when your sinless blood would be shed on that cross. And that you would go into hell itself and defeat it all for us. Raised victoriously from the dead. And the book of Hebrews tells us how it worked, that the heavenly utensils of worship had to be cleansed because of Adam's treason all the way up to, just not including, the throne of God. And now it's called the throne of grace. Oh, glory to God. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back now where we were in the 5th chapter of Mark's gospel. Now, remember the woman with the issue of blood. And she said it, she believed it, she did it, and she told it. You remember that? Then she said it. Well, now, what did Jesus say in Mark 11? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say, so he put this whole thing in motion right then. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So now, let's go back over here then, the 5th chapter. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now remember, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. She shall live. And Jesus went with him. He followed faith. The woman with the issue of blood, faith stopped him. Her faith made her whole. So Jairus is standing there. She testified. She told about the physician. She told about the fact that she'd had money. She told that she'd been in this condition 12 years. And he's standing there listening to this. But then he said, then he heard, daughter. Oh, yeah, my little daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, your daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, Jairus didn't say anything. He said, she will live. As soon as Jesus heard the word that, or the death messenger spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. You read that in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. Stop the fear. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it now. Only believe. You keep your faith going. I'm here. So what did he do? And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He cometh... Why would he do that? Well, there's a lot... The family and all of that is in there, but he put all of them out. And so he turned all these others over to the rest of his disciples to keep them out of the way and get all that unbelief and all that grief and all that going on out of there. Now listen to what he said. Jesus said, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she's asleep." He said it. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where she was lying. So the father and the mother, he was leader of the synagogue. Let's put all this together. He was leader of the synagogue in Capernaum that Cornelius the centurion had built. You need to go widescreen with all these things and meditate on them. And I didn't always know that, but I've been studying this book for 56 years. There's some things that'll come out of it like that. So, and you see these things, you mark them in the book. So anyway, here he is. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, all of that unbelief, the grief of it, because she's dead. He put them all out. Grandmothers, grandfathers, all of them, you know, and they're crying and hurting. Then they laughed him to scorn, that fool. He had to get that out of there. But the mother and the father were in agreement on it. So they obviously had set themselves in agreement. So he obviously told her, "I know he's gone over close to Gadara, but he has to come back home, and I'm going to be the first to meet him." So I see him out there in the edge of the water. And when he stepped out of the boat, he just fell in the water and the sand and the mud. Fell at his feet. "You come home with me." Listen to what happened. He took the damsel by the hand. He said, "Lay your hands on her." So what did he do? He took her by the hand. The woman with the issue of blood said, "If I can just touch those clothes, I'll be whole." So she touched his clothes. Amen. Now, when Cornelius, of course, he's called the centurion there, but over in the 10th chapter of Acts, we know his name is Cornelius. He built that synagogue, and he had a servant boy that was sick, close to death. He said, "I'll come heal him." He's so easy. He said, "I'll come heal him." He said, "No, I'm not important enough for you to even come under my roof. I'm a man of authority. I tell a man to go, he goes. I tell one to come, he comes. I tell one to do this, and he does it. You speak the word only." Having faith in the word of God without any physical evidence of it is the highest form of faith, according to Jesus. He said, he marveled at his faith. He said, "I've not found such great faith, not in all of Israel." And all of his disciples were right there behind him. And this man is Gentile. He's a Roman. And it worked. He said, "Be it unto you as you have believed." And that young man was healed that very same hour. So listen to this. "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." He took her by the hand. "Talitha kuma," which is being interpreted, "damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, no man should know it, and commanded that to give her something to eat. Faith works. I was, my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, we were in Palm Springs, and I had driven them. We had been in Newport Beach, and there were some things that he was dealing with, and we had a lot of prayer about that. And then we drove up to Palm Springs there and stayed all night with them, and then we were going back the next morning, next day. And he said, I want you to get up with me in the morning, and he helped me write my partner letter. I said, okay. So we met 8 o'clock the next morning. I was so thrilled. Oral Roberts wants me to help him write his partner letter. Glory to God. I was so thrilled. So we sat down there. I was like this. His desk was here, and he was sitting here in a swivel chair. He was facing me more like this. He said, what is this? I said, well, you know, that's Bob, the Word of God. What is this? He threw it at me like that and hit me right in the chest and hollered at me, letters! And they're just as anointed today as the day they were written. Are you ready to write your partners a letter every 30 days for the rest of your life as long as you're on this earth? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, now you remember this, Kenneth. You're not writing them that letter to meet your needs. You're writing that letter to help them get their needs met. And that's your job. That's you're a preacher of the gospel. That's your job. You get people's needs met, not yours. You preach the word, God will meet your needs. And he said, if you write that letter, if you even thought about it, will they give? Tear it up. So I sat down. I'd write it, and I'd go back and say, yeah, that's what I thought. I'd tear it up. And I'd write that one, I'd be okay. And then maybe a month or two later, I'd write another. I'd say, well, I did it again. What struck me Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-mm-mm. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How do we know that? Being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, where John baptized him in the river, went out into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Starvation set in, and the devil said, if you be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Well, he could have done it. But what did he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He came out of that and settled. He settled forever what Adam had done. The sin was eating forbidden fruit. Artists draw it as an apple. It wasn't. They had fig leaves. It was a fig tree. And that fig tree gave its life for him so he could teach faith. Amen. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it read. He opened to Isaiah, the 61st chapter. He took that as a text, and he cut it off right there. So go to the 61st chapter of Isaiah, and you'll see where he cut it off. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. He's preaching all this. Set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the great jubilee. And in the great jubilee, all debts were canceled. Hallelujah. And the first time I heard this, I heard Oral Roberts say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. He's here. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted man, person, you don't have to be brokenhearted anymore. He's here. To preach recovering of the sight. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore because he's here. Set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised man, you don't have to be bruised any longer. He's here. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, you don't have to have any debts any longer. He's here by his Spirit. And he would say, "I see him right here beside me. He's called me to lay hands on you." He was a very dramatic preacher. And other times he's very quiet, but the Spirit of the Lord would come on him like that. So, and faith calls things that be not as though they were. Abraham, like God, or before him, calls things that be not as though they were. So, praise God. Fourth chapter of Romans, 15th verse. Because the law worketh wrath, where the law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made thee a father of many nations, before him and like him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken or written, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform it." I can't count the times. "I consider that not." I learned to do that over the years. "I don't consider that." And I've given my testimony to this before, but I realized I became short-winded. I never did have any pain, but I was short-winded. And I was preaching in a tent service for Mike Barber. And by the way, while we were in that tent last night, there were tornadoes and thunderstorms all the way around. But in the name of Jesus, we took authority over it, and the tornadoes were around it and the thunderstorms, and there was almost no wind in that tent at all. Huh. But I've got a little short breath. I got out in the airplane, and Dwayne was up in the cockpit, and I sat down back there in the back, and the glory of God came in that airplane, and I heard it. I have given you a new heart. About 8, 15, 16 o'clock in the evening. It was raining. I have given you a new heart. And what are you going to do with it? I said, I believe I receive it. I have a new heart. I'm Kenneth Newhart. I'm Kenneth Newhart. What am I doing? Calling things that be not as though they were. I am Kenneth Newhart. I have a new heart. I went to the 112th Psalm and it says, my heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. I believe the Lord. I believe that the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. I love my neighbor as myself, fulfilling all the law and the prophets. Well, I'm saying it with my mouth, what I believe in my heart. I never had any fear of it. It just wasn't there. I just kept saying it. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I told the cardiologist, I have a new heart. What? I said, I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I kept saying it. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. Well, I went through all the tests and all of that. It was not a blood flow problem. One artery was blocked, but it had bypassed itself. I didn't have a blood flow. They thought maybe I needed a stent. I didn't need that. But I'd put so much stress on my heart by preaching way too much, no rest, just kept going and kept going, kept going. Preached myself to exhaustion twice. Just, well, that is my stupid fault. But anyway. Well, they decided I need a pacemaker. I said, okay. So I got the pacemaker. I have a new heart. 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 Well, in aviation, I had to do what's called the Bruce Protocol, and it's stress test, and it's a tough one. But I just got on the treadmill and was working out at the Bruce Protocol, and when I went in there and took the thing, it was just another walk on the treadmill. And I have my flight physical now because I have a new heart. And I repeat again what the man said. You came in here. He said, you're a very rare case. You came in here with a very sick heart, and now you're leaving with an absolute normal heart. Well, it's new. I said it with my mouth. I believed it in my heart, in my spirit. I have a new heart. And I continue to work out at those same levels on that treadmill. I have a new heart because I'm going to live till I'm 120 years old. Amen. We're out of time, and you can have a new heart. I'll be back in just a moment.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast because that's the way the Spirit of God had led us to do, though. You've heard the word all week, and last week all week, and now it is proper to support the word from where it comes. Now, well, you find that in Galatians 6. But the Lord led me to do this today. And this is in the 10th chapter of Mark's gospel, which since we've been in Gospels, right, Mark's writings. When they were coming forth into the way, they came running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered and said, "Why calls me good? There's none good but God." And he said, "You know the commandments, in that commit adultery, kill, do not steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother." He answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these I observed from my youth." Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor, and shall have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me." He only said that to that 12. What a replacement for Judas. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved. He had great possessions. Now, he went ahead and answered it to his own disciples. Anyway, he said, "How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man that trusts in his riches into the kingdom of God." They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" So they were certainly not poor men. But then he said, "There is no man that hath a house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, he shall receive 100-fold now and this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." People said, "Copeland offers his donors 100-fold. I did not. Jesus said it. Oh, he said that. Yes, he did. Father, I pray, everyone in the sound of my voice, I'm asking you to bless their offerings. I receive them into this ministry, the givings of the people, and I bless them in Jesus' name. May they be blessed 100-fold and beyond in everything they need, in healing and goods and family and lands, whatever it is. Now I pray in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve. And I believe it come to pass. Amen." God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.